Alrighty, guys, this morning's message, while you wait. Okay, how many in here enjoy waiting? That would be nobody, okay? Again, that's an IQ question. If you enjoy waiting, there is something wrong with you, okay? I mean, if you go to the doctor's office, and by the way, how many is that just a pet peeve of yours? If you have a 10 o'clock appointment, is it too much to expect to be seen prior to noon? Is that too much to expect? It shouldn't be, but it seems like it is, huh? I mean, why? You ever notice that? How many people you think have a 10 o'clock appointment? Like 10, okay? Do they really think we can get that many people in? But how many go to the doctors and you got to wait? It happens, okay? We don't like waiting. Nobody likes waiting, okay? Your pastor especially, okay? I'm not the most patient person in the world, okay? Now, Fabian, don't you laugh, because you're not very patient either, okay? But nobody likes waiting, okay? If you do, man, You're weird, okay? But the rest of us normal people, we just don't like waiting. It's a reason why we like fast food, okay? I mean, let's be honest. You go to Sonic and it takes more than 2 minutes for them to fix your cheeseburger and you're getting colic, okay? You go to McDonald's and it takes more than a minute and a half for them French fries and you're like, oh, what's taking them so long, okay? We don't like waiting. High-speed internet, that's something we don't know much about here at the church, but we're working on that, okay? But again, we like things to happen, okay? When you're trying to find something on your phone, don't you hate that little thing that just keeps making that little circle? Okay, it's just like, what is going on here, okay? We don't like that. We like clear passing lanes on the highways. Let me teach a few of you guys something. Do you know the left lane is meant for a certain thing, and it's called passing? Brother Rick, professional driver, CDL. Brother Rick, does it just not drive you crazy when somebody's in the left lane cruising along at the speed limit? That is not the place for that, Hunter Seneca, okay? That is not the place for that, Chantel Seneca, okay? Brother Rick, she spent more time teaching Hunter to drive, Michael, and he does it. I'm like, what are you doing in the left lane? Well, I'm just cruising. Get your butt over to the right lane, because the left lane is meant for what, Chad? Passing, okay? I want the left lane cleared so I can pass you, okay? So I can pass you. So does everybody understand that? Right lane is for traveling, cruising, just waving, talking, doing all the things that you do. Left lane, keep it clear for me and Fabian, because we have somewheres to go, okay? Everybody got that? Good. Okay, so you got something out of this message. You learned that the left lane's for passing. We love microwaves. We love popping a dish in there and 1 minute later it coming out piping hot. We love that stuff because we don't like to wait. But as Christians, who here has realized that wait is often God's answer for many of our requests? You know, I've heard it said that God answers all of our prayers. Sometimes it's a yes. Sometimes it's a no. Most of the time it's what? Wait. So there must be something profitable about all this waiting, okay? And so I'm really preaching to myself this morning. So many times we preachers, when we preach to ourselves, it ends up being pretty good stuff. So there must be something valuable to this thing, to what comes from waiting, because God often has chosen this as the best course of action when dealing with my spiritual journey. Lord, I want it now. And his definition of now and my definition of now are two vastly different things. So there's a little slide that I saw this week, and I think Brother Donald put it on Facebook, and it just really reminded us of some things. If you find yourself waiting on a promise today, if you find yourself playing the waiting game, I've got good news for you. You're in very, very good company. Because when you think about some giants of faith, Joseph waited 15 years. It's 15 years that transpired from the time he was in the pit till he made it to the palace. 15 years. That's nothing compared to Abraham. Abraham waited some 25 years from the moment that he got the promise that he was going to be the father of Israel till finally Isaac, the promised child, came. That's nothing compared to Moses. Moses waited some 40 years. And by the way, he ended up kind of doing it twice, didn't he? Okay? 40 years backside of the desert, becoming the most humble man on the earth. Then 40 years putting up with some couillons because they couldn't get their act together. So Moses, if anybody, understood waiting. And even Jesus. Jesus spent 30 years in preparation for 3 years of ministry. So guys, if you find yourself waiting today, if you find yourself waiting on a promise to come through, if you find yourself waiting on a healing to come through, if you find yourself waiting on that person you've been praying for years and years and years to get saved, you're in good company. Because God loves when we wait. He gives us some promises while we wait. Today, let's look at those promises and let's learn a lesson or two while we're waiting, because how many know we're going to be waiting sometimes in this life? Let's see if we can't get a little closer to God in the process. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for an opportunity today to look in your word. And I pray today, Lord, that we are encouraged, we are built up, that we realize that, God, there is much spiritual gold that can come through times of waiting. I just ask today that you would bless this word and you would honor it and you would touch your people. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Everybody would say, amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40, this is a great promise that many of you have heard before, and this will be our launching point. We're really going to go a little deeper than just this promise, but I want to start with this promise, because how many know that a promise from God can keep you going? A promise from God can be enough to keep you going. A promise that that loved one's going to be saved. A promise that God's going to heal you. A promise that if God be for you, who can be against you? Sometimes a promise is just enough to get you through. So let's read in Isaiah chapter number 40. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 29 through verse 31. And it's just an encouragement for those of you going through trials. It's an encouragement for those of you that are maybe playing the waiting game. Verse number 29, the prophet Isaiah says, "He gives power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Guys, that's an amazing promise. Verses 29 and 30 just talk about, you know what? In the natural, we grow weary. It's not uncommon to grow weary, to grow faint. But those that wait upon God shall renew their strength. God promises that through the waiting process, he's going to strengthen you. God promises while you're in the process of making it to that promised land, God will help you. You're not in it alone. Now, the enemy wants to lie to you. The enemy wants to lie to you, Sister Josie, and say it ain't never going to happen. He tried to lie to some of those great men and women of faith that waited so long. He wanted to tell Joseph that you'll never get out of that pit, that you'll never get out of slavery. He tried to tell him that you'll never do what God called you to do. He tried to tell the same thing to Abraham. He tries to tell that lie to everybody who can do something great for God. So if you're hearing lies from the enemy, take courage today that there's a reason you're hearing those lies, because the enemy is scared to death of what happens when that promise comes to fulfillment. Amen? And God promises those that wait upon him shall renew their strength. This should serve as an encouragement to all of us who are waiting on a promise from God to be fulfilled. How many have an unsaved loved one that you're praying for? Guys, those that wait upon the Lord. You know, Brother Donald, you shared a great testimony that you've been praying for this person for some time, and they've just decided to come back to the Lord. How many years have you been praying? Just ballpark. 10 or more. How many times were you maybe just a little discouraged that, man, I just don't know if this is going to work? A lot, huh? I don't know if I can remember when I first got saved, I began to pray for my family members. I began to pray for my loved ones, my parents, okay? And honestly, they got worse. You ever seen that? You start to pray for somebody, instead of getting better, Miss Robin, they get a little worse. Okay, I remember one time my mom looked at me and said, "Boy," you know, whenever mom starts with "boy," it's usually not going to go so well, okay? Said, "Boy, there's two things we ain't talking about." Okay, what are they? Politics, I said, "Well, that's okay, even though we're supposed to kind of agree," and religion. And I was like, "Well, I don't want to talk about religion, I just want to talk about Jesus." Well, to my mom, religion and Jesus were the same thing, okay? But she got worse. But we kept praying. We kept being faithful. And you know what? God honored those prayers. Just like God honored Donald's prayers, my mom and dad came to faith in Christ. So many of my family members have come to faith in Christ. And it's nothing that I did. It's everything that he did. Because the key is those that wait upon the Lord. You see, we got to have that as our foundation. See, if you think you can figure it all out, you're fooling yourself. Okay, Tracy, if you think you can work out every last detail of your life, you can't do it, baby. Okay, you're not good enough. But guess what? She ain't good enough either. None of us are good enough. We have to trust the Lord. Sister Wanda, if you think you can work everything out and it all fall into place, honey, you're good, but you're not that good. There are some things we just have to wait upon the Lord. But he promises that when we wait on him, he'll do what? He'll renew our strength. He'll help us through the process. He'll come through. He'll do some amazing things. He says he'll renew our strength. We'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run. You know, here's the amazing thing about an eagle. You know, guys, they get up in that jet stream and they just stretch their wings out. And it's almost effortless as they soar through the air. You see, when you're going in God's anointing, when you're going in God's power, it's almost effortless. Some of you are like, "Well, everything I'm doing seems to require a whole lot of effort." Maybe we need to wait a little more on the Lord. Maybe we need to trust him a little bit more. Amen? Then he says that you will run and not grow weary. Guys, that's supernatural. Okay, I'm a big boy, okay? I can run a little bit, but I promise you real quickly, weariness comes in. If me and Seth stuck out on a race together, Seth, you'll beat me. I'll just tap out, okay? You win, okay? Because I'm going to grow weary very, very quickly. But God promises they'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. That is a picture of supernatural strength. That is a picture of something only God can do. Amen? And the key to all this is waiting. I wish there was a better answer I could give you, but the answer is in the book, waiting upon the Lord. So, what do you do with that unsaved loved one? You keep waiting. You keep trusting. You keep believing God. How many are believing for your healing or for a healing in someone in your family's body? Keep believing. How long do you keep believing? As long as there's breath in your lungs or theirs, keep believing. Well, Pastor, what if they go to heaven? You know what? That's healing in my book. Guys, do you realize that every Christian is promised healing? Sometimes God heals on this side and it's temporary. How many have been healed by God temporarily? Miss Sue, that's a temporary healing. This body is not meant to last forever. As I get older, I'm reminded of that fact. Okay? Fabian, don't laugh. You keep having birthdays, baby, okay? You know, he's 13 years younger than me, so he thinks that's funny. I used to think it was funny at 32, okay? But keep having birthdays. Some of you, Brother Rick's like, "Yeah, Pastor, you keep having birthdays." Okay? But here's the deal. Our body is not meant to live forever. But our soul and our spirit, they live forever. And sometimes God heals on this side of heaven and it's temporary. And then sometimes God heals on the other side and it's permanent. And guys, I've got to tell you, there's been loved ones that I prayed for. There's been people in my church that I prayed for. And I didn't think they got their healing because they got promoted to heaven. But I have a feeling if I could ask them today, Miss Connie, they'd say, "Oh, preacher, I got my healing. Oh, I ain't aching no more." How many old folks in here, you wake up in the morning, LJ, you were a little stiff this morning? Okay. My wife raises her hand. She thought, I almost said how old you were. Okay, but she's 39 and holding, and she's stiff this morning. Some of us, you wake up in the morning, you're stiff, huh? You're stiff, you're aching. But God says, just keep believing me. Just keep trusting me, amen? Keep believing for that healing. Keep believing for that promised child. Fabian, keep believing for that ministry that God is going to open those doors up in his timing. Guys, refer to that slide one more time. If you can put that slide back up one more time, Brother Donald. If you're playing the waiting game, you're in great company. You're in great company because look at these men of God that went before you. You see, many of God's generals patiently waited for God to come through on their behalf, as he will for you as well. Did God come through for Joseph? Yes, he did. Did God come through for Abraham and Moses? And did he come through for his son Jesus? You betcha, bottom dollar he did. And he will for you as well. But the key is, wait upon the Lord. So, what should we do while we wait? I'm glad you asked, because that's the crux of this message this morning. Three things I want to share with you. I shared with you the promise that God is going to strengthen you while you wait. But then what can you practically be doing while you're waiting, okay? If you're in the doctor's office, you're waiting by looking at magazines or watching the news channel or surfing Facebook or whatever. And that's not very profitable, okay? But these are some things that you need to do while you're waiting on the Lord, while you're waiting on your promises to come through. Number one, keep serving. Keep serving. While you're waiting on God, keep serving. You see, the word wait, when used as a waiter or a waitress, means to serve another or to strive to meet another person's needs. Those that wait upon the Lord. See, we picture that as just sitting there, twiddling our thumbs. No. Actively keep serving. Keep doing what you know to do. While you're waiting on the promise, while you're waiting on the open door, while you're waiting on God to come through, keep doing what you know to do. Keep serving God. You know, guys, I've seen people walk away from God because God didn't come through in their timing. How foolish is that? How foolish is that? You know, I can remember when Jesus said some pretty harsh words one time in a teaching, and he did that pretty often, by the way, and many of the crowds left him, and he looked at his disciples, Sister Eloise, and he said, are you going to leave me too? And they said, Lord, where would we go? You have the words of life. Guys, Jesus still has the words of life. He's still worth serving. No matter how long it takes for that promise to come through, keep serving God. And you know what, guys? A year and a half ago, I would preach this message and it would be really, really cool because I never really had to wait much on God. But this last year and a half of our lives has been a very, very trying time, okay? But during that time, we kept serving God. Did our assignment change a little bit? Yeah, there were times, Fabian, we had no clue what our assignment was, okay? I mean, a year ago, we were crew leaders at a VBS. By the way, Lord, bless every crew leader here, okay? Rebecca, double blessings on her for covering for her pastor in crew number 12. And so many of those crew leaders that went through crew number 8, or rather, crew number 8 went through y'all, okay? But hey, crew leaders in a VBS, wow, there's a special crown in heaven for those guys, okay, those gals. But guess what? Our assignments changed, but we kept serving God. So while you're waiting, while you're going through the process, don't stop serving God. Don't stop serving others. You see, guys, as Christians, we need to serve others. What is ministry? The definition of ministry is really simple. Find a need and go about meeting it. Keep serving others. Keep being kind to your neighbors. Keep doing what you know to do. Keep serving God. Keep serving others. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep believing. You see, guys, if the enemy can steal your hope, he'll think he can steal your soul. Sister Valley, if he can steal your hope, he'll try to steal other stuff. But he's never been able to steal that hope. You hang on to that thing like a bulldog to a ham bone. Don't you let go of that thing. Okay? We got some hungry teenagers. They looked up when I said ham bone. Okay? But here's the deal. Keep believing. Keep praying. Keep serving God. Keep serving others. Keep trusting God. Maybe you're waiting on direction. Lord, what should I do? When should I do it? If you're waiting on direction, here's some advice to you. Keep doing the last thing he told you to do. Well, that was a while back. Has he changed his mind? No. Guys, there's transition that happens all the time. Transitions in ministry, transitions in life. We go through different seasons in our life. Do the last thing he told you to do. Teenagers, what's the last thing he told you to do? Keep doing that until you get new orders. Military guys, you understand that, right? What do? You act upon the orders that were given, correct? Until you get a new set of orders, okay? Until you get a new set of orders, you keep doing the last thing you were told to do. That's how the Lord's kingdom works. Keep doing what you know to do. Through the waiting, through the process, keep doing right. Keep serving God. Keep serving others. Keep praying. Keep doing what you know to do. That'll help the process. Will it make it easier? No. Will it make it fun? No. Okay? But it'll allow you to grow through the process. Amen? So through the process of waiting, keep serving. Number two, prepare through the process. Prepare through the process. If you have your Bibles today, turn to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. I love this little portion of scripture. Talks about Jesus. Luke chapter number 2. This is right after Jesus was brought to the temple. He's 12 years old. He gets left in the temple. And he ends up doing some teaching. And a little 12-year-old boy is hanging out with the scribes and the Pharisees. And he just kind of blows them away. Of course, mom was a little upset that Joseph lost the boy. How you know Joseph lost him? Well, the man's always to blame, right? Okay, Joe was supposed to watch Jesus, and you know how that goes, okay? So Mary gets back to her boy, and you can only imagine how that went. And Jesus, of course, said, I had to be about my father's business, and of course, they didn't really understand what he was talking about. So in verse 51 and 52, let's read about this. It says this. And he, talking about Jesus, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, guys, we're just not talking about any boy, okay? We're talking about Jesus Christ. We're talking about someone who at 12 years of age was just able to amaze the most scholarly people when talking about the law, okay? And in light of all that, Jesus chose to submit himself to the godly authority placed over him. You see, guys, if God the Father had a process of preparation for his only begotten Son, what makes you and I think we would be exempt? How many in here like the process? Nobody. You like waiting more than that, okay? Jared, none of us like the process. But if Jesus Christ had a process, if God the Father had a process for his own Son to go through, what makes us think we would be exempt? You see, Jesus right here subjected himself to his parents, to those God-given authorities over him. You see, guys, submission to godly authority is always a part of God's plan for every believer. Submission to authority. Now, that's not something people like anymore. It's something my wife loves to teach on, and she just doesn't teach on it because it's self-serving that you subject yourselves to us. No. It's a key to the kingdom. If you want to be used by God, God has to know he can trust you. Now, some of us are in here, oh, I have no problems with that. Well, guess when the real test is? When your spiritual authority corrects you. When your spiritual authority tells you something you don't want to hear. You see, guys, we have a lot of people that speak into our lives, and when they tell us what we want to hear, it's really cool. It's like, yeah, I like that. But how about when someone brings correction to you? That's the real test. Are you submitted at that time? See, the test is when that authority corrects you. How do you respond? Just this week, I had an opportunity to talk to someone, and I actually brought a little correction to them, and it wasn't a big deal, and I just shared that with them, and you know how they responded? They said, "Thank you, Pastor. I'll certainly make that change." And then he called me that night to apologize. I was like, I thought we'd already dealt with that. Just to apologize that tells me that he truly understands submission. That gets me excited because I think about the potential this man has for ministry, and it's really exciting. You know what, guys? If we want to be used by God, God's got to be able to trust us. And the way he proves that we're trustworthy is, how do you submit to authority? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, submitted himself to his earthly father and earthly mother. If Jesus can do it, you and I should do it as well. Amen? Look at the result in Jesus, okay? Look what happened in his life. Increased wisdom, increased stature. He grew in favor with God and man. How many in here could use some of that, okay? How many in here could use a little more wisdom? How many in here would like to grow in favor with God and man? You know, every time I drop my kids off for school, and obviously the last year and a half it was a little more challenging because I went to school with them. Praise God, I don't have to do that anymore. But I used to always pray for them, and part of that prayer is, Lord, help them grow in favor with God and man. There's something great about the favor of God. How many want the favor of God on your life? Do things God's way. Submit to authority. Do things God's way. Embrace the process. Realize that God has had a process for every one of us. He wants us to go through that process to grow in godliness. So while and often waiting is part of the process. Great. Often waiting is part of the process, but prepare through the process. Consider Joseph. In Genesis chapter number 37 through 50, we have the story of Joseph. And I'm just going to read it in just a quick synopsis. This is a John Maxwell Leadership Bible, and it's a little character study of Joseph. And here's what it had to say about Joseph. We remember Joseph of being the second in command in all of Egypt, and that was really, really cool, but it didn't start out that way, okay? In Genesis chapter number 37, Joseph was a real cocky kid. He was too arrogant for his own good. You ever met some kids like that? Okay? He didn't think it enough to be the favorite of his father, the child who received special treatment, the one he had to rub it in. Okay? He was given a special coat by his dad, and he had to tell everybody about it. When God gave Joseph a dream revealing who he would be one day, that his whole family would bow down for him, guess what Joe did? He told him about it. In fact, I think it kind of went this way. Hey, brothers, I got something to tell you. You're going to like this. Okay? Seth, guess what y'all get to do? Y'all get to bow down to me. Hey, y'all want to practice? I just believe that's kind of how that went. How do you think that went? Well, what was their response? Was their response, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord? No, they were like, let's kill the boy. Okay, let's string him up. Okay? But then always being good businessmen, Jewish people are always good businessmen. They're like, no, don't just kill him. Let's make some money off the boy. We're going to sell him into slavery. Okay? See where Joe's big mouth got him? So that's the picture right there. Early in his life, Joseph didn't know how to skillfully work with others. He lacked experience, wisdom, and certainly humility. Three qualities gained only through the passage of time. Joseph's life illustrates that God has a process for all of our lives. Observe how time and experience change Joseph. See, everyone starts out in a state of ignorance. That's where Joseph was. He didn't understand the dynamics of his family. Either he couldn't imagine how his brothers might react when he described a dream, or he didn't care. The scripture says his brothers already hated him. When he described his dream, they hated him even more. Joseph did and said things without understanding the issues involved. His ignorance cost him more than 2 decades of alienation from his family. So, Joseph didn't know. He said, hey, boys, you're going to worship me. Why don't you practice now? It took a life-changing incident to capture Joseph's attention and start him on the road to change. thrust into slavery in Egypt, he began to learn what he didn't know. He came to understand that leadership is difficult and carries a huge weight of responsibility. Over the years, on his way from the pit to the palace, Joseph suffered betrayal and learned hard lessons in human nature, relationships, and leadership. The process molded his character, granting him both patience and humility. Eventually, he recognized God as his source of blessings and power. You see, the process for Joseph took a long time because he was a hard-headed boy, okay? And it took him a while to realize that God was in all of this. You see, it started to catch on, though. Joseph began to show great skill when opportunities came up. When Pharaoh finally called Joseph, the young man performed with excellence and great wisdom. He didn't succeed because he suddenly got smart at age 30. He succeeded because he paid the price the previous 15 years. Joseph's hard-won wisdom and discernment got him promoted to second in command of all of Egypt, the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. During 7 years of plenty, Joseph executed his leadership plan with great skill. He filled the cities of Egypt with grain and prepared the country for a famine. But one can see how far his leadership had grown only by observing what he did during the lean years. While he focused on feeding the people of Egypt, the strength of his leadership allowed him to feed the people of other lands as well, including his own family. You see, God had strategically placed Joseph in a position to make sure the lineage by which the Messiah would come would be taken care of. You see, God sees the big picture. We often don't see the big picture, but God sees the big picture. Fortunately for the children of Israel, Joseph didn't stop the process. He grew in his journey from the pit to the palace. Yet nearly 23 years passed before he reunited with his brothers and saw his own vision fulfilled. At the end, Joseph realized that God had directed the process of his development as a leader and that he had been groomed for a much greater purpose than he had ever imagined as a self-sufficient teenager. By the time his father died, Joseph had learned to see things from God's perspective. When his brothers feared for his lives, Joseph claimed to calm their nerves by saying, "Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for the good, in order to bring it about as it is to this day, to save many people alive." You see, God had a plan for Joseph's life, and Joseph committed to the process. God has a plan for your life as well. Will you be just as committed to the process? Will you trust God through the process? On your way to your destiny, on your way to where God wants you to be, will you continue to trust Him? So prepare through the process. And then finally, number three, trust God's timing. Trust God's timing. Proverbs chapter number 3 tells us in verses 5 and 6, and many of you have this memorized, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." That's a great promise, and it's one to hang on to. But it talks about trusting God. Trusting God no matter what. Just this week, I read a couple quotes that are really good when it talks about trusting God. One is from a children's pastor just right down the road. She says, "It's impossible to trust the Lord with all your heart if you feel you must understand the how, the what, and the why of everything God is doing." Boy, doesn't that just hit home? It's impossible to trust God with all your heart if you feel you must understand the how, the what, and the why of everything God is doing. Guys, I've been guilty of that before. Jesse, I just got to understand all the details. Sometimes God just doesn't make the details privy to me, okay? And that's when I have a decision to make. Miss Belinda, do I get pouty? Do I make a big fuss? Sometimes. But what I should do is just trust God. God, I'm going to trust you. I don't know all the details, but I trust that you know all the details, and that's good enough for me. How many have ever been in a place where you just didn't know? You ever been there? It should be enough to know that He knows. Guys, the last year and a half, there's been some times that the Seneca family just didn't know. Okay? My boys would look at me and say, Dad, what the heck were you thinking? Okay? I don't know. I just don't know. But I knew that somebody knew. And now I see where we are today. And I'm glad I was committed to the process. I'm glad that I trusted God's timing. And if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. In fact, there was another quote by Miss Allison Rowe that says this, Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. God is never late. By the way, I put in parentheses, he's also seldom early. How many have figured that one out? She didn't say that, but I had to add that, okay? God's never late, seldom early. But he's always on time. Everything is on time when it's in God's time. Amen? Everything is in right when it's in God's time. We've got to trust God's timing. Now, you know what? We talked about some great men of faith. Well, let's consider one of them named Abraham. You see, Abraham, from Genesis 12 to Genesis 21, was a long time. And during that time, Abraham and Sarah, they had a promise from God. They had a promise that they were going to have children. They had a promise that they were going to be the fathers of a great nation. The only problem is they were old. They were really old, okay? They had celebrated a 70th anniversary. They'd been around a while, okay? And they said, well, maybe God needs our help. You know what, guys? God doesn't need your help, okay? Let's see what happens right here. From Genesis 12 to 21, Abraham and Sarah grew impatient. And in Genesis 16, they decided to help God out with the promised child thing. Sarah said, I'm old, I'm wore out, I can't have a child, but I have this maid. And maybe that's how the promise would happen. Well, a child came forth, but he wasn't the child to promise. Amen? He ended up being the child of pain because this baby that was born was named Ishmael. Ishmael is the father of the Arab people who have been at odds with the Jewish people till this day. Guys, all because they grew impatient. All because they thought that they knew better than God. God needs my help. Any of you ever been there before? I have. Miss Chantel has. We think, Fabian, that God needs our help. Well, God, since you're not working out in this timing, maybe you want me to help you. Come on, guys. Let's learn a lesson from Abraham and Sarah. Let's learn a lesson from these guys because we're still dealing with that problem today. Can we all learn a lesson from Abraham and trust God's timing no matter how long it may take? No matter how long it may be. You see, guys, we look at these timelines. We look at Joseph's 15, 20 years. We look at Abraham's 25, Moses 40, Jesus 30. We see a start and we see a finish. But through that process, you don't know how long the process may be. See, some of you don't realize that you're just a week away from that breakthrough. Some of you don't realize that you're maybe just a day away from that breakthrough. You don't realize how close you are to that promise. Don't give up now. Don't start trying to help God out. He doesn't need your help. Contrast what Abraham and Sarah did with Jesus. Contrast this with Jesus, who in the Father's perfect timing began his 3-year ministry that forever changed our world for the better. Jesus Christ lived 30 years preparing for 3 years of ministry, and those 3 years changed everything. Guys, do you realize that even unbelievers recognize what Christ did? Because how do we do our calendars? AD, or BC, AD. BC, before Christ. AD, some Latin that I can't say anymore, basically after Christ's birth. Okay? So guys, even the world recognizes what Jesus did some 2,000 years ago. Guys, trust God's timing. With every head bowed and every eye closed. You know, guys, we're talking about waiting on God. We're talking about trusting God. And, you know, there's one thing that we shouldn't wait on God for, and that's to serve him.